Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Welcome back to AI Unraveled. This is the podcast created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior engineer and, yes, passionate soccer dad from Canada.
Great to be back.
Before we jump in, just a quick reminder, if you like what we do, please hit that like and subscribe button. It really helps us keep these deep dives coming your way daily.
It did make a difference.
All right, let's get into it. This is the deep dive. And our mission, well, it's pretty straightforward. We take a whole stack of sources today. We're digging into a chronicle of AI news, specifically from May 29th, 2025.
And the goal is to pull out the really important stuff, right? The insights you need.
Exactly. We want to get you up to speed quickly on what happened in AI just on that one day. Find those surprising facts, give you the context.
Mm-hmm.
Help you understand what's actually going on.
Yeah, cutting through all the noise, finding the signals that, you know, genuinely matter. The things with real implications.
Couldn't have said it better. And speaking of things that matter, let's start with a theme that feels, well, pretty impactful. The shifting world of work and skills in this age of AI. There was a pretty stark warning floating around.
Oh, yeah. That was Dario Amodè, the CEO of Anthropic. He didn't pull any punches. He basically predicted that AI could wipe out a huge chunk of jobs.
How huge are we talking?
Up to 50% of entry-level white-collar jobs. And the timeline he gave?
Just 5 years.
50% in 5 years. Wow. That's incredibly fast. Did he connect that to the broader economy?
He did. He suggested that level of job loss could potentially push U.S. unemployment way up, maybe even hit 20%.
20% unemployment. That's massive. Which sectors did he think were most vulnerable?
At the entry level, he pointed to tech, finance, law, and consulting. You know, the typical graduate starting points for many.
That's definitely unsettling, especially hearing it from the head of a major AI company like Anthropic. He also made a really specific prediction about coding, didn't he? That one really jumped out. It did. Yeah. Amodè predicted that AI will be writing 90% of software code within just 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah. And then potentially almost all code within a year. If that plays out, I mean, it completely changes the game for software development, right? Especially those entry-level coding jobs.
It really does. And he seems to think that people aren't really grasping the scale of this.
He was quite critical, according to the source material. Mm. Said the government, the tech industry, they're kind of downplaying the risks. He feels most workers are either unaware this is coming or just, you know, don't believe it'll affect them.
So it's not just a prediction. It's a warning about complacency, too.
Yeah.
What did he suggest we actually do about it beyond just, you know, ringing the alarm bell?
Well, he talked about proactive steps like significantly better AI skilling programs, better support systems for workers caught in the transition.
Okay, practical measures.
And he even floated policy ideas like a token tax on AI companies.
A token tax? How would that work?
The idea, I think, is some kind of fee on AI usage or maybe training data, something like that, to potentially fund retraining or social safety nets. His main point seemed to be, we need to act now.
It's a heavy forecast. And listener, it really makes you stop and think, how might this kind of displacement affect your field? Or maybe a field you're interested in.
But here's the twist, right? Because on the very same day, we get this warning about jobs disappearing.
Yeah.
We also get news about where new opportunities are just exploding, like seriously exploding.
Okay, tell me more. What kind of opportunities?
Look at the freelance platform Fiverr. They reported this absolutely mind-boggling statistic, an 18,347% increase.
Wait, 18,000%? Did I hear that right?
You did. 18,347%. It sounds like a typo, I know. But that was the reported increase in businesses searching for freelancers with skills in AI agents.
AI agents. Okay, what exactly are those in this context? Are they like advanced chatbots?
Kind of the next level up. Think of AI that doesn't just respond, but can perform complex tasks autonomously. Scheduling meetings, managing customer service flows, maybe even automating whole business processes.
Right, so doing sequences of actions, not just one-off tasks.
Exactly. The source described them as potentially revolutionizing work. And get this, tapping into a possible $1 trillion market.
$1 trillion. Okay, so why the sudden mad rush for freelancers who can build these things? Why not just build them in-house?
Well, it seems like the underlying tech, the advanced generative AI, is there now to make these agents feasible. But there's a big gap. Companies don't necessarily know how to build them, how to integrate them, how to make them work effectively and safely.
So they need outside expertise fast.
Precisely. They're turning to freelancers to bridge that knowledge gap.
Hmm.
To help automate tasks, yes. But also, interestingly, the source mentioned adding that crucial human touch, guiding the AI,
right,
refining its output, making sure it aligns with business goals.
That's a key point. The demand isn't just for AI, but for people who know how to apply AI strategically.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just happening in one place? Or
no, it's global. The report specifically called out Germany, too. Similar crazy numbers, a 19,033% increase in searches for AI agent skills there.
Wow. Okay, so let's put these two pieces together. Emode's warning about job losses.
Uh-huh.
And Fiverr's data showing this incredible boom in demand for AI agent builders. It's not just destruction, is it? It feels more like a massive, rapid reshuffling.
A reconfiguration, yeah. Certain skills are becoming less valuable, maybe, while others, particularly those related to building, implementing, managing AI, are suddenly skyrocketing in demand.
So, listener, how does hearing about this shift make you think about the skills that are going to matter most in, say, the next few years?
It really highlights adaptability, doesn't it? And learning how to work with these tools, or even build them.
Definitely. And the speed of change. It's even causing ripples in places like education. The source mentioned something quite unexpected returning to classrooms because of AI. Yes. The return of the blue book.
Blue books? You mean those little paper booklets for exams? Seriously, why?
It's a direct countermeasure to AI cheating, which has apparently become rampant.
How rampant?
The statistic cited was pretty shocking. 89% of college students admitting they've used AI tools like ChatGPT for homework.
89%? Okay, that's nearly everyone. That is a huge problem for assessment.
It really is.
Yeah.
How do you assess real understanding, critical thinking, creativity, if students are just outsourcing the work to AI, so universities are reacting?
And going back to basics.
Seems like it. Places like UC Berkeley were mentioned specifically as reintroducing handwritten in-person exams. No laptops, no internet, just you, a pen, and the blue book.
Because you can't easily get ChatGPT to write your essay by hand in a supervised exam hall.
Exactly. It's about trying to ensure the work being assessed is actually the student's own thought process. The worry is that over-reliance on AI just undermines the whole point of education, developing those core thinking skills. So it's not about being anti-technology, but about preserving academic integrity. Makes you think, listener, doesn't it?
Hmm.
Does this trend maybe change how you value traditional assessment? Does that handwritten essay suddenly seem more authentic?
It's a fascinating reaction.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. We've talked about the impact on work and learning, but what about the AI technology itself? What new tools or capabilities were announced or released on May 29th?
Well, one pretty significant partnership involved Elon Musk's company, xAI.
Ah, Grok. What's happening with Grok?
They're integrating it into Telegram, the messaging app.
Into Telegram. Okay, that's interesting. How's that working?
The deal reportedly involves a hefty investment, $300 million from xAI into Telegram, and a revenue share. Telegram apparently gets 50% of Grok's subscription revenue that comes through their app.
So Grok gets potentially massive distribution via Telegram's user base.
No.
What will it actually do for Telegram users?
The idea is to embed AI help right into the chat experience. Things like getting writing suggestions, summarizing long chats, helping with business-related queries.
Andy features.
Yeah, and quick access through the search bar. Apparently avatar creation, even document summarization are planned.
What about privacy? People get nervous about AI reading their messages.
They address that. Pavel Durov, Telegram's founder, made it clear that xAI would only access data from direct interactions with Grok, not your other chats or personal data.
Okay, that's an important distinction. So it's positioned as an enhancement, making Telegram more competitive.
Exactly. Embedding AI directly, making it seamless.
That's a big move for messaging. And speaking of embedding AI, there was news from Opera, the browser company, too.
Yes, they launched something they're calling Opera Neon, and they described it in a pretty striking way.
How so?
As the first AI agentic browser.
AI agentic browser. Okay, unpack that for us. What does agentic mean for someone just browsing the web?
It means the browser isn't just passive anymore. It's not just showing you websites. It has built-in AI agents that can actually do complex tasks for you autonomously.
Like what kind of tasks?
Well, the examples given were pretty ambitious. Asking the browser to build you a simple website, or write some code based on your requirements, or even book a whole trip coordinating across different travel sites automatically.
Whoa. So it's like having a proactive assistant living inside your browser.
That's the concept, yeah. They mentioned different modes. Chat for asking questions, do for requesting tasks, and make for creating things, like digital assets.
And it works how?
Locally. Both, it seems. Some functions might run locally, but a key feature they highlighted is hosting cloud-based agents. These agents can apparently keep working on tasks like building that website or monitoring something online, even after you close your browser.
That really does sound like a potential shift in how we interact with the web, moving from just viewing to actually doing through the browser itself.
It could be, yeah. It's a premium subscription feature, though. Pricing wasn't announced yet, but there's a waitlist for early access. Definitely one to watch.
For sure. Now, beyond these user-facing applications, there were also updates to the underlying AI models, the engines driving all this. What was new with DeepSeek?
Right, DeepSeek. They're a Chinese AI startup, and they released an updated version of their reasoning model called DeepSeek R10528.
And the significant thing about DeepSeek is?
It's open source. That's a big deal. It's available on Hugging Face and, crucially, under an MIT license.
Which means?
Which means anyone can use it, modify it, even build commercial products on top of it pretty freely. And this new version boasts some serious improvements.
In what areas?
Especially in reasoning capabilities, things like mathematics, programming logic, general problem solving.
Do you have any, like, proof of that? Benchmarks.
Yeah, the source highlighted one specific benchmark, the AMU 2025, which is a tough math competition. This new DeepSeek model reportedly scored 87.5% accuracy.
It sounds high.
It is, especially compared to their previous score of 70% on that same benchmark. That's a significant jump in mathematical reasoning. They also mentioned it's better at reducing AI-generated misinformation, which is always good news.
Definitely. Is this the kind of model you or I could just download and run on our laptops?
Probably not easily. The source mentioned it's a beast, 685 billion parameters.
Okay, yeah, that's huge. Needs serious hardware.
For sure. You'd likely need to adapt it or have access to significant computing power. But still, having an open source model with this level of performance, it makes DeepSeek a real contender against the big closed models like OpenAI's O3 or Google's Gemini 2.5 Pro, especially because anyone can access and build on it.
It's really interesting to see these powerful open source alternatives popping up globally.
Yeah.
Any other quick tech updates from that day's news?
Just a couple of brief mentions. Odyssey apparently demoed an interactive video, world model AI video you could sort of interact with or change. Some Chinese researchers developed an AI called Flare to predict stellar flares, which sounds cool for astronomy.
Predicting solar flares, okay.
And OpenAI opened a sign-up form for developers wanting to add a sign-in with ChatGPT button to their apps. Suggests that might become more widely available soon.
Okay, let's just pause here for a moment. We're hearing about AI getting woven into our everyday tools like messaging and browsing.
Right.
We're seeing these incredibly powerful new models, some open source, pushing the limits of what AI can do. Now, if you're listening to all this and thinking, wow, how does this actually work under the hood? Or maybe I want to get my hands dirty and start building some of this stuff myself.
Yeah.
Well, we've got something specifically for you.
Ah, the toolkit.
Exactly. We've just launched AI Unraveled, the Builder's Toolkit.
Yeah.
It's basically a collection designed to help you bridge that gap, move from just hearing about AI to actually doing things with AI.
Making it practical.
Totally. Inside, you get practical, hands-on tutorials. They come with PDF guides you can follow, video walkthroughs, even audio snippets, step-by-step stuff. And the really cool part is you get lifetime access to all future updates. So as the tech evolves, the toolkit grows with it.
That's pretty valuable, keeping pace.
We think so. It's honestly the perfect way to turn the concepts we discuss here into actual skills you can use. And, not gonna lie, Grabbing the toolkit is also a fantastic way to support this podcast and help us keep bringing you these deep dives every day.
It helps keep the lights on, so to speak.
It really does. So head over to djamgatetech.com. That's djamgatech.com to learn more and get access. Or even easier, just check the show notes for this deep dive in your app. There's a direct link right there.
Okay, worth checking out if you want it built.
Definitely. All right, so moving on from the tech itself.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the bigger picture, the geopolitics, the intense business rivalries that are playing out in the AI space.
Yeah, this is where things get really high stakes. National interests, corporate battles, it's all intertwined. We heard from NVIDIA's CEO, Jensen Huang, for instance.
Right. What was his take? He seemed worried about China.
He did. He specifically called out Chinese AI companies, mentioning Huawei by name, and described them as quite formidable.
And this was in the context of the U.S. export restrictions,
right?
The one stopping NVIDIA selling their best chips to China.
Exactly. NVIDIA is expecting a big hit from that the source mentioned an anticipated $8 billion revenue shortfall just next quarter because of those restrictions.
Ouch. But Huang's concern wasn't just about lost revenue, was it? It was more strategic.
That was the really interesting part. He warned, according to the source, that these restrictions, which are meant to slow down China's AI development, might actually be doing the opposite. They might be accelerating it.
How does that work? Blocking access speeds them up. Seems weird.
His logic was, by cutting off access to the top U.S. chips, it forces Chinese companies to double down on developing their own domestic alternatives. They have a huge talent pool of AI researchers, and this void in the market basically gives them a protected space to rapidly improve their own tech and production.
Ah, so it creates an incubator effect almost. Mm-hmm. Removing the foreign competition forces them to innovate faster locally.
That's the concern he raised. So the policy intended to maintain a U.S. lead might inadvertently be fostering a stronger, more self-sufficient competitor in the long run.
That's a really important perspective. Listener, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? How do these global strategies and trade tensions actually shape the pace and direction of AI development worldwide? Who ultimately benefits or loses out?
It suggests the race has many layers, and policy is a huge factor.
And speaking of intense competition at the very top,
yeah,
there was that pretty wild report about Elon Musk allegedly trying to meddle in a huge AI deal.
Oh, yeah. The OpenAI and UAE deal, a massive one, reportedly $500 billion for AI infrastructure. The Stargate UAE project with G42.
$500 billion. Okay. What was Musk reportedly trying to do?
According to the Wall Street Journal report, he tried to interfere. He apparently demanded that his own company, xAI, had to be included as a partner.
Demanded?
Nah.
How did he supposedly try to force that?
The report claimed he suggested to the G42 executives that the deal wouldn't get U.S. government approval specifically mentioning the Trump administration unless xAI was part of it, using political leverage, essentially.
That's
yeah.
Quite the power play, if true. Did it work?
Nope. The deal went ahead anyway. Despite his reported objections and lobbying efforts, the OpenAI G42 partnership got the green light from the administration and was announced.
Wow. That whole episode just screams high stakes, doesn't it? Personal rivalries between tech titans, massive amounts of money, geopolitical positioning, all centered around building this foundational AI infrastructure.
Absolutely. It just underscores how central AI has become, not just technologically, but economically and politically. And, you know, on a related note, the source also mentioned Reed Hastings joining Anthropic's board.
The Netflix co-founder.
Yeah. Another sign of major players from outside the core AI research labs strategically moving into this space, recognizing its importance.
So, listener, when you see this level of intense competition, these rivalries, these huge sums of money, what does that signal to you about the future direction of AI? Does this kind of frantic activity speed up innovation, or does it create new bottlenecks or power imbalances?
Lots to unpack there.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. We've just spent time diving deep into the AI news from a single day, May 29th, 2025. And what did we see?
Well, we saw some pretty sobering warnings about jobs, especially entry-level white-collar roles, potentially facing massive disruption from AI very soon.
But at the same time, we saw this explosive growth in demand for completely new AI-related skills, like building AI agents, a real paradox there.
Exactly. Then we saw new AI tools becoming part of our everyday digital fabric, integrated into messaging apps, into browsers, changing how we interact online.
And powerful new foundational models pushing the boundaries, some even released as open source, which could democratize access, but also raises other questions.
Right. And layered over all of that, we saw the intense global competition, the geopolitical strategies, the restrictions, the multi-billion dollar deals, the personal rivalries, all driving the race forward.
It really paints a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
AI isn't some abstract future thing. It's here, now, actively reshaping jobs, education, our tools, global power dynamics. And the pace is just relentless.
It feels like staying informed, getting a handle on these shifts is becoming less of a nice to have and more of a necessity, really, for navigating what's coming.
Absolutely. It's about understanding both the challenges and, crucially, the opportunities that are emerging almost daily now.
Spotting those signals in the noise.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's leave you with a final thought to chew on. Given everything we've discussed, the speed of AI development, its predicted impact on work, learning, global affairs, what specific human skills or maybe types of intelligence do you think will become the most valuable, the most resilient in the next few years?
What really sets humans apart as AI gets more capable?
Exactly. What's our unique edge going to be? Something for you to ponder.
A good question to mull over.
We hope this deep dive has helped make sense of the flood of AI news from May 29th, 2025. Our whole goal here is to take all that complex information and distill it down into something understandable and hopefully actionable for you.
Giving you the key takeaways without you having to wade through everything yourself.
And hey, if listening to all this has sparked your interest in not just understanding AI, but actually building with it, really getting hands-on, don't forget about AI Unraveled, the Builder's Toolkit.
That step from theory to practice.
Precisely. It's packed with practical tutorials, PDF guides, videos, audio to walk you through building AI applications. Plus, that lifetime access means you get all the future updates as the tech keeps evolving. It's genuinely the best way to translate what you hear into real skills.
And it helps support the show.
It really, really does. It helps us keep doing this every day. So check it out at djamgeek.com or just hit the link in the show notes. Super easy.
Go build something cool.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We really appreciate you spending your time with us, thinking through these important, fast-moving topics.
Keep learning. Keep asking questions. We'll be back with another deep dive soon.